So we're up to the laws of prayer, and we're actually discussing in chapter 106, Kuvav, we're actually discussing it today. We'll see who is obligated in prayer. Prayer means the Amidah. And unlike Shema, where women are not obligated from the Torah, but prayer they are obligated. So he says, Noshim ba'avodim, both women and slaves. Now, slaves, some women consider themselves slaves too, but depending if you're liberated or not. But Noshim ba'avodim, afal pi shepeturim mikriya shema, even though they are exempt from reading the Shema, chayovim b'tefillah, they are obligated in prayer. And the reason is, mipnei shu mitzvos eseh sheloi hazman gromo. He says, because it is a positive mitzvah which is not time bound. Oh, but wait a minute. Because the criteria for exemption of women from the mitzvahs is only those mitzvahs, we're talking about positive mitzvahs. There are 365 prohibitions which women are equal to men in the prohibitions. In the positive mitzvahs, the Torah exempted women from those time-bound mitzvahs that they are exempt. Now, prayer, he says, is not a time-bound mitzvah. So you're going to ask, what about Shachris Mincha? Okay, wait, let's wait. It's considered a mitzvah which is not time-bound. Shezmanei ha-tfilo he-medivrei sofrim. It is only the times for prayer are rabbinic origin. They come from the words of the scribes. However, but the ikar mitzvah ha-tfilo he-minatoyra. The root of the prayer is actually a Torah command, because Shenemar, the Torah says, Uli avdo b'chol levavchem. That's also part in the verses of the Shema, you shall serve him with all of your heart. What does it mean with all of your heart? What kind of a service is it with all your heart? So we say, Eizoi avoyde shebelev, zoi tefilo, which is considered a service of the heart, that is prayer. Elo, she'ein lo nusach yedua minat Torah. There is no known language or specific version that you have to do it. You just pray from your heart. Person can pray in any kind of a way that they want, in any time you want. There's no time bound, there's no limits, there's nothing. You can pray in any way, any language, in any version, in any time. Once you davened, once in the daytime or at the nighttime, you fulfilled your obligation of the Torah. Which means, once in 24 hours, the Torah tells you have to pray to God. You've done it once, so it's not a time-bound mitzvah, there's no specific time. You have to do it once a day. So if you do it once a day, pam echad b'yoyim, oy b'laylo, so it's really basically an everyday mitzvah. It's a mitzvah every day to daven. Yotzi
dechavosim min ha-Torah.
No, for everybody. Because of what it's saying, because it's not a time-bound mitzvah, so they're obligated. Now, v'al pisvor zu, based on this idea, so now the nog anoshim, roev anoshim. So now what we said over here is that women are obligated in prayer. But so far we didn't say they're obligated in the prayers of the three times a day, because that's already becomes from the rabbis the time bound. The reason why they're obligated in prayer is to pray once a day to Hashem. But the specific times that we daven Shachris Mincha Ma'ariv, the specific Amidah, the 19 brachas, the 18-19 brachas we say, that's already time bound. And that's rabbi, but that's time bound. You got to daven Shacharis in the time, Mincha in the time, and Ma'ariv in the time. So women would be exempt from that. So based on this idea, Val Pisvorazu, Nogu Reiv Hanoshim She'ein Mispalim Yudches Bitmidus Shachar Va'erev. Most of the women's custom is that they do not pray continuous all the time, regularly, morning services and night service, evening services. I think in the evening services he's probably including both Mincha and Ma'ariv, both of them. Because soon as they get up in the morning, when they wash their hands, they say, Eze Bakoshe, some sort of request from Hashem. They ask something from Hashem as they get up in the morning. From the Torah, they already fulfilled their obligation. They asked something from Hashem. They prayed already to Hashem. They're done. And then the rest is already becomes time bound. And he says, it's possible, he says, according to some opinions, that the rabbis didn't require from them anymore. They just said, you do your obligation of the Torah, and that's it. You say some prayer, and you fulfilled your obligation. That would apply to this, according to this idea, to women. But there's a different opinion. But others say, no. She'iker mitzvahs tefila himidivrei sofrim. That the main mitzvah of prayer is actually from the words of the scribes. It's a rabbinic origin. Shehem Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. These were the men of the great gathering. Shetiknu Yudches Brachas Al HaSeder. They organized the 18 blessings in the order. Lispalel Oysom. To daven them. Shachrisu Mincha Choyva. Originally, it was put that for the morning and Mincha, that's mandatory. Va'arvis Rishus. And Maariv was optional. So now this becomes a positive mitzvah of the scribes, which is time bound. And women will be exempt from any time positive mitzvah, which is time bound. Even if the basis for the mitzvah is from the scribes, from the divrei sofrim, they would still be bound. Yet, as for example, kigoin halal, they're not exempt. It's a mitzvah midrabbana to say halal. We'll say the result. Kiddush levona, the kiddush halavona, and the kiddush levona, it's time bound. They're also exempt. Women, afal pikein. They did obligate him. When they said their instituted prayer, they said everybody prays, men and women alike. They also have to pray. Because since prayer is asking God for mercy, we're asking for Rachmanas, we're asking for Hashem to protect us and have mercy upon us. So this is no difference. Men, women, everybody needs God's rachamim. So everybody plays. The Alter Rebbe rules the chein ikar. That's the main ruling. So he goes by the second opinion that women are obligated to daven shachris and mincha. Because he says that he follows the second opinion who says that they are obligated. However, avol tfilas arvis, but mayriv Shehirishus, which is optional. To begin with, Ma'ariv is not a mandatory. So although nowadays all Jewish people have accepted it as an obligation, but the women did not accept it as an obligation. V'rubam einoin mispalalis arvis. And most of them do not daven ma'ariv. And here it says beis memshin, which seems like b'motzoi Shabbos. A motzoi Shabbos. Why is motzoi Shabbos? Is in the note here, just referencing here. But the bottom line is, since some of them don't daven, sometimes they don't have to. Most of them don't daven a motzoi Shabbos. I'm just thinking that motzoi Shabbos, when Shabbos is over. So people who daven Maariv, they have to wait till they finish Maariv before they can start doing work after Shabbos. But maybe the women want to start doing work right away, so they don't wait for Maariv, so their custom has become not to daven Maariv. But that's just evidence that women don't always didn't accept to daven Maariv all the time, so it's not become a mandatory. So it's interesting, the Alter Rebbe rules that women need to daven Shachris and Mincha, and they don't have to daven Maariv if they don't want to. But
in practice, are women davening Shabbos?
Okay, so but they don't have to go to a minyan, but they do daven shachris. It's funny. It was so funny that you bring that up because you know it's interesting. I should say, because here you have all the movement of women's movements that they want to be equality to men, and they want to, they're saying they want a place and everything else like the men, right? But when it comes to something which the Shulchan Aruch says, the Orthodox Shulchan Aruch, the Haredi says that you got to daven twice a day, then you say to us, do in practice, do the women actually daven twice a day? Well, not in shul, not when it comes to getting an aliyah in shul, or not when it comes to getting to do something. I don't know. I think you're right. I don't think that the majority.
I see Lisa, my daughter, she does the morning blessings of what she's doing now.
Yeah.
I don't know what else she does, but I'm sure she's a smart
one. Because who's with the kids in the morning?
Yeah. No, that's not an issue. She just sits and stands in the kitchen and kind of does her thing.
But let me say to you, well,
circulates around her.
It's certainly the Rel to Rebbe ruling is, and the pious women do it, and those who want to rely on the first opinion don't do it. So, I mean, or if they don't want to do it, they have an opinion to rely on. But I'm just pointing out that it's a little bit hypocritical from sometimes from women who want to do what the Shulchan Aruch says not to do. They want to do it, but they're not going to do what the Shulchan Aruch says they should do. So they're not so quickly to do it because it's a burden to daven every day, shacharis and mincha, right? It's a burden. It takes, you know, you got to stop what you're doing, and maybe they don't want it. But I'm not talking across the board about everybody. I'm just saying, in general idea, but women should daven shacharis and mincha, as far as I know. The Rebbetzin davens every morning, shacharis and mincha, that's what she does. But and all my children, my girls, I think, do. But I can't say. My mother, may she rest in my mother, may she rest in peace. Just to, in all of our school, we teach the girls to daven. You know, the girls' schools teach them to daven. So it's something we just practice. Okay, let's do. We have two more sifrim here. Let's quickly go through them. Number three, subsection Gimel, Ketanim sheigiu lechinuch, minors who have reached the age of education. Age of education usually is considered like about 7 years old because they know already, they're able to already grasp. You are obligated to educate them to pray in the evening and the morning. Again, evening should include probably Minchan Maariv. It doesn't mean it says evening and morning. Yet it is permissible to feed them, to give them to eat before Shachris. Adults should not eat unless in the circumstances that you're faint and you need to eat so that you can daven, as we learned earlier. But they are permitted, because it's only education, so they're permitted to eat before that. It's actually prohibited to pain them, to cause them pain by not feeding them. As it said in the Reish Samachtes, in Siv Gimel, in 269, subsection 3, Vishin Men Gimel, that's 343, and over there it's subsection 7. Over there it talks about feeding young children before Kiddush. So also you're not supposed to cause them pain by not feeding them. You can feed them. Subsection Dalet says like this. Whoever is, Torah is his craft. Which means all what he does is study Torah. As for example, Kigoin, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai v'chaveirav. There was a great sage. His name was Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, together with his colleagues. So they were busy studying Torah all the time. And as the Rav Rebbe mentioned before, and the Sayyid over here, they never waste any time. All what they do is they study Torah. Mafsik likriya Shema, he would need to interrupt for the reading of the Shema, interrupt his Torah study. Umevarech lefoneo v'lachareho, and he would make the blessing beforehand and afterwards. Those are the blessings that you do before and after the Shema Yisrael. Aval einoy mispalel kol iker, but he doesn't do the Amida at all. He's exempt from doing the Amida because he's busy learning. And the reason is since without this he doesn't waste from his learning even an instant. Always learning, never stops for a second. So then he should not interrupt for the prayer also. If you never vatel. But even though a person is required to waste and interrupt his study in order to perform all the mitzvahs, even if they're from rabbinic origin, you'll have to do the mitzvahs that the rabbis tell you, that the rabbis tell you to do, to light the Hanukkah candles, to do any of the mitzvahs the rabbi says, or to hear the Megillah, whatever the rabbis tell you, you have to stop your learning. So, but mekomokin tefillah, but by prayer, ho yilveinu bakoshes rachamim, al inyon el mazeh. Prayer, since it's mostly, it's not but, we're asking mercy on what are we asking? We're asking on matters which are this worldly matters. We're asking for materialism. We're asking for physical matters. That's mostly what we're asking about. So one should not neglect eternal light, eternal life, and to occupy themselves with temporary life, because this world, materialism, physicality is only temporary. Study of Torah, connection with God is eternal. So one should not interrupt that with the for that purpose. Let's just finish up over here. But he says like this. So this applies really to these great rabbis and to these great people. They don't waste an instant. They're always studying, and therefore they need not interrupt for the prayers. Aval onu, but we. Mafsikin bein lekriyas shma bein letfila. We will interrupt, even if we're studying all the time, we will stop for both. We will interrupt for reading the Shema and also for prayer. Why? Because we, without the prayer, without the Shema, we waste time anyway. So if you're mevatel anyway, you're wasting time, you might as well interrupt for the davening. Or mekom, okay? But nevertheless, which we learned also before, if you're teaching other people, and if they're not going to learn now, they're going to, you know, dissolve, and they're going to waste the time. They will not be able to gather together them to after the davening. You should not interrupt your study with them, even if the time of prayer is going to pass. But yet, you're still going to interrupt to read the first verse of Shema, so that you should accept the heavenly yoke at the time of the Shema. And you should look some halacha when you're teaching that talks about the exodus of Egypt, so you will also be mentioning the exodus of Egypt during the time of Shema, which is why we say the portion of Ayomer. But in your case, just teach them a halacha about it. And after you finish learning, it's best that you should complete, do the whole Shema. Still, even though the time has passed, you haven't read in the time, you still did not lose out like anybody reading a portion of the Torah. Still read the Shema, not in time, but like person is reading in the Torah. But if the time is not going to pass, and you have enough time after your class to read the Shema and to daven, doesn't have to interrupt at all. You can just continue, and then you'll do it after you finish your class. You'll do the Shema and the Amidah. Afilu loymad yichidi. That would apply even if you're learning by yourself. As long as you have enough time, it's okay. Afilu hischil lilmad bi isur. Even if you started to study at the time of the prohibition, la'achar shekvar igiyaz man kriyas shema tefila, the time of prayer and Shema has already reached, and at that time, she'asu loylahaschil lilmad. You're not allowed to start to learn until you start first davening. You may not rogel lebeis haknesses. Question is by Simen Peites. As we learned earlier in Simen Peites, that unless a person is used to going to shul, and then he'll remember because he's going to go to shul to daven, he's not allowed even to start to study because he might forget. As we learned over there in Siv Zayin, subsection 7, Afa Bekeim, im hischil, if you started, ein et tzorich lahafsik. If you study, you can continue learning. As long as you have enough time to read the Shema and then to pray afterwards. So he tells you not to interrupt your learning, and then you'll daven, and you'll read the Shema, and you'll daven afterwards.
Close.